Continuing some of the sugyas relating to Pidyon HaBen that we spoke about a little bit last week. So we're going to discuss a strange situation, Pidyon HaBen. Probably never going to get this shaila, but some of the principles, some of the yesodos behind the shaila really impact not only the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, but really talk about in general mitzvah observance questions. So the sugya begins, the first of the Ma'amakamos, the Gemara says Kedushin, and the Chav Testament Aleph, Tanur Rabbanan. Who lift those? Ubeno lift those. The person has two mitzvahs of Pidyon HaBen in front of him. One of them on his son, just out of firstborn. Number two, he has Pidyon HaBen on himself, because unfortunately his father, 30 years ago, never bothered doing Pidyon HaBen on him. So as we learned last week, that Pidyon HaBen obviously starts out on the father, but if the father doesn't do it, then eventually it goes to the child. So here we have the following conflict. He has himself to do Pidyon HaBen on, and he has a son to Pidyon HaBen on. Who called him Livno? So he should do himself first before he does the son. Rebbe says no, that he should do his son first. Rebbe Yehuda says that Pidyon HaBen on his son is really his obligation. Pidyon HaBen on himself was an old obligation from his father's days, from 30 years ago. So therefore, his obligation towards his son should come first. So comes the Gemara and says that this brisa should not be understood at face value. We have to give a little bit of a time for an explanation of this brisa. Rebbe Yirmiyah, Hakol Modin. There is no question that if this person only has five slum and shkolim, the two terms used interchangeably, he only has five shkolim in his pocket, there is no question that those five shkolim goes for him, not for his son. If you're talking about Nebuch, a guy, he's very, very poor. He has his last penny to his name, and he has two mitzvahs in front of him. He has Pidyon HaBen for himself, Pidyon HaBen and his son. So he comes to Yirmiyah and says, that was never subject to this machlokes. Everybody agrees, he comes first. My timer, mitzvah de gufei adifa. The mitzvah that relates to him takes precedence over the mitzvah that relates to somebody else. So what were Rabbi Yehuda and the Chum arguing about? We left it to three dots because we're not going to talk about it today. The Gemara is a very, very complicated discussion as to what precisely the machlekes was about. But says Rabbi Yirmiyah, I'll tell you what it wasn't about. It wasn't about the following statement, that under no circumstances should he do Pidyon HaBen on his son at the expense of doing his own first. He comes first. Why? Mitzvah de gufei adifa. That's the principle of the Gemara says. So before we begin to analyze that phrase, the significance of that phrase, mitzvah de gufei adifa, we have to go back a few steps and ask ourselves, wait a second. Why is this fellow doing Pidyon HaBen altogether? Why doing Pidyon HaBen? He needs it and his son needs it. What we're really asking is, but he doesn't have any money. The guy's broke. He has five shkolim left in his name. He doesn't have a penny in the bank. And we're pilpiling, which one of the two mitzvahs should he use for? If you'd ask me, I'd say, neither. Right, and hold on to this last couple of pennies. So I'm not saying that just altmidas harachm v'chesed, which are of course important midos, but apiyadin, that's the halacha. The person doesn't have enough money, but is not mechuyav to spend every last penny on the performance of mitzvos. So that statement I just made is clear. There's an explicit gemara to that effect. So let's learn for a moment that sugya. How much money as a maximum, how much of my last couple of dollars am I obligated to spend on mitzvos? Then go back to why are we insisting that this fellow spends every last penny on the mitzvah Pidyon HaBen. We're not sure which Pidyon HaBen he does, but Pidyon HaBen for sure he does. So let's take a look at the second of the Maamar Kamos, the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Tesa Ben Aleph. Amar B'Zeir Amar Ravuna B'Mitzvah Ad Shlish, a very cryptic statement. When it comes to the mitzvah, so go up a third of what? Says the Gemara, my shlish, what does the word mean, the mitzvah shlish? Ilema shlish beso, maybe it means that you should spend on any given mitzvah that comes your way up to a third of money that you have. So if I have $30,000 in the bank, a mitzvah comes my way, I should spend up to $10,000. More than that, I'm not mechuyav to spend. Says the Gemara, really? Elameyata, is rami le klasa mitzvasa, leisa v'kule beso. You guys going to be wiped out the three mitzvahs. They'll have the mitzvah of lulav, the mitzvah of matzah, the boy pair tefillin, he's gone fishing. He won't have a penny to his name. The Gemara says that's absurd. There's no way in the world Allah could require a person to become mamish, go into bankruptcy just to perform a mitzvah sase minat Torah. It can't be. There's no such halacha. So how much do you have to spend on mitzvahs? All the Gemara tells us is that you don't have to spend every penny, that's for sure. So how much do you have to spend? So it comes tells them the third of the Maamar Kamos and says, this is what you do have to spend. Mashma. You are not mechuyav to spend every last penny to buy an asher. You even though you will lose out the opportunity to perform the mitzvah, you will not shake a lulav this year. You're not going to borrow a lulav and eser. You will not fulfill the mitzvah of lulav and eser. You're not mechuyev to spend every penny. Not only you're not mechuyev to spend every penny, you're not even mechuyev to spend a third of your assets. That's what the Gemara just said. So how much are you obligated to spend? The Tosfos can't figure it out. Tosfos not sure. The Gemara just tells us how much you're not mechuyev to spend. Never tells us how much you are. So Tosfos says the answer must be as follows. There's a Gemara Masech Ksubis that talks about how much maximum money should a person give for tzedakah. Usually people want to know what's the minimum amount. Here's the maximum. You shouldn't spend more than a fifth of your money on tzedakah. So that Gemara Ksubis Daf Nun happens to be talking about tzedakah. But Tosfos says it's probably the same din when it comes to buying matzah and buying tefillin and buying a lulav. You have to be careful not to go overboard. Don't spend more than a fifth of your money on any given mitzvah. So between the Gemara and the Tosfos, we just figured out that one is not obligated to spend every last penny on doing a mitzvah. But we have to take a step back and ask ourselves, why not? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, shake a lulav. What's the pot there for me not to shake the lulav? When it comes to dinim deraisa, the only pot there for mitzvahs is pikuach nefesh. Being uncomfortable is not a poter for doing mitzvahs. There's a famous story about Reb Chaim Oizer. Reb Chaim Oizer was an older man already, and somebody came to visit him one night, Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and it was very cold outside. Reb Chaim Oizer said that, mitzvah is part of the sukkah. I don't have to go to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah right now. So Reb Chaim Oizer looked at the person and said, you're a young man. For you, it's comfortable. For you, it's not so bad. You put on a coat, you'll be all right. So you go outside the sukkah because I'm poter for mitzvah. I'm an older man. You're chayiv in the midst of sukkah. The fellow goes outside. A few minutes later, Chaim Oizer comes out and bundled up in his winter coat. He sits next to the fellow. The fellow says to the Rebbe, you just told me that you're part of the sukkah. He said, yeah, I'm part of the sukkah, but I'm chayiv in achnasas orchim. He said, this is not achnasas orchim for me to be sitting in the warm house and you're sitting in the freezing sukkah. That's not right. There's no p'tur b'tzar mitzvahs. Sukkah is a special din because teishu came to do. You have to live in the sukkah like you live in your house. So you wouldn't live in your house. It was 30 below. But other mitzvahs you have to do, even though it's uncomfortable to do it. So what's the pot there for not shaking a lulav? Because I'm going to be poor. So be poor. What's the pot there? So the Rishonim use the following phrase. Rishonim say, no, because Shem Yitzchak Lebrios, if you're going to start to waste all your money on doing mitzvahs, you're going to end up getting really, really poor, and you have to start collecting tzedakah. And therefore, we're not suggesting people to get to that point. But Lamaisa, what is the point there for the mitzvah of lulav? What's the point for the mitzvah of tefillin? Shem yitzdach lebrius. Ozozai yitzdach lebrius. So some of the Acharonim explain that we find the principle in Shmiras HaMitzvah is called Chalel Shabbos Achas Beshiyishbo Shavos Harbe. One of the sources in the Gemara Maseches Yuma that Yibachal Shabbos, in order to save a person's life, is it's a good investment. If you drive to the hospital now, hopefully it'll save the person's life, and then he'll be able to keep Shabbos for the next 50 years. So in mitzvahs, we look at mitzvahs as a long-term investment. So I tell people, I guess it's in general the young for some people, it's the marathon this week. So doing mitzvahs is a marathon. It's not a 90-yard dash. So sometimes people respond to this a lot by young, budding Tamir Chachamim. So the Bachrim, they get themselves so burnt out. They work so hard on learning for the next 6 months. They get themselves good and sick, and then they can't learn for 6 months after that, and then they get a yurid on it. You have to be careful in life, in Avedis Hashem, so you have to keep your eye on the ball. The eye on the ball is the long-term goal. So Shmiras HaMitzvah is like that also. And the Torah says it's a good investment to Bechal Shabbos once or twice in order to save a lifetime of Shmir Shabbos. So that's what Tzemach Rehner meant, the same when it comes to Mitzvah's essay. If you're going to become so poor, you're going to run around collecting tzedakah, you're never going to have money for other mitzvahs that come your way. Every time you're not going to have money for matzah, you're not going to have money for lulav, so you're going to spend $100,000 on a pair of tefillin. And then the next time around, you're going to have a penny for any other mitzvahs. So it's a bad investment. Therefore, I'm a vazvaz, I'm a vazvaz, I'm a vazvaz. So the bottom line is the din stands the way it is, that you're not supposed to spend such an amount of mitzvahs that's going to wipe you clean. So if so, what's going on in our sugya? Hakam Agamar says that if you only have 5 shkolim, so we make the whole cheshbon. Should you use it for yourself? Should you use it for your son? Mitzvah de gufo, another. Don't use it for anything. I hold on to it and use it to eat lunch tomorrow. What are you spending so much money on mitzvah? So what happened? Manishtana, this sugya from the Red McClellan that governed the lack of requirement to spend an exorbitant amount of money on mitzvahs. So the Mishnah Berurah, I didn't put on the memory comments, it's the Be'al Loch and Uchas Lulav. There's a little long be'alocha about this very question. Be'alocha suggests the following interesting terrors. The Gemara's lashon in Maseches Ksubas that tells us what it was. Hamevazbeis al yevazbeis yoyis mechamish. What does the word bizbuz mean? Bizbuz means to waste. It doesn't say halokeach. You know, mama min hashuk lo yishaleim kaka. It says hamevazbeis. That means you shouldn't waste money. When there's a certain project that's taking place, and you're going to spend an exorbitant amount of money that's not in sync with really what the mitzvah is worth. So I mean, mitzvahs are according to premium, obviously mitzvahs have an eternal worth, but in terms of the olam hazeh worth of the mitzvahs, so there's a certain going price for mitzvahs. Let's say, for example, you know, I'm not holding by the details of the lulav and esreg, but I can imagine as follows: a person goes and buys a lulav and esreg, spends $100. I wouldn't say it's a mevazbeis. It's a nice amount. Maybe some people spend $200. I mean, the guy comes into shul the first day, sukkah, so he asks him, how much money do you spend on a little bit? I said, I spent $20,000 the answer. That's see, here's the mitzvahs. That's crazy. Somebody rolled you for $20,000 for an answer. A guy spends $20,000 on a pair of tefillin. Tefillin, the nicest. Don't go for $20,000. I'm afraid to give different examples. I don't know if we're going to be wrong. A shmur matzah. He buys, I'm not talking about the shmur matzah that were baked on Erev Pesach by the Reverend. They were flown to the Concord jet. That's a different story. You go, you buy a box of shmur matzahs. So, you know, they are on the expensive end. The guy spends $1,000 for two matzahs. So that's a little bit muzam, a little bit abizbus. Says the Mishavura, Chazal didn't want was spending these out of the ordinary expenses on mitzvahs because it's bad. It's a bad setup. You're going to end up losing money. You're going to end up becoming poor. You're going to be but when it comes to pidyon, then I come into shul and I say, you won't believe it. I just spent 5 shkolim on pidyon ben. So they're going to say, well, you wasted 5 shkolim. That's what the Torah says. That is the price of the mitzvah. That's the going price of the mitzvah from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu until today. That's not a bizbuz. That is what the mitzvah cost. So I have certain expenses in life. I have to pay my electric bills, got to pay my phone bill, got to pay my rent, got to pay my rent, and I got to pay for the mitzvahs that come my way. So I lucked out. I have a firstborn son, not a Kohen, not a Levi, not a Basco, not a Levi, no cesarean. I hate the jackpot. I have to pay 5 shkolim. That's part of my religious expenses. So comes Rishon Shmuel and says, maybe that's the reason why Pidyon Ben is the exception, so to speak, to this rule of Hamavazah. If that would be the case, then it wouldn't have too much impact on other mitzvahs, because most other mitzvahs really don't have that set amount like Pidyon Ben has. The Eidei Shlomo says the Mishnah Berurah, another answer that could potentially impact on us. There's the Mishnah Berurah, what's the idea of Hamavazah Levazah Yosef Lechemish? So the Chalon writes, Shem Yitzach Lebrius. We shouldn't really have that phrase. Shem Yitzach Lebrius. You're going to end up becoming poor and have to collect tzedakah, and that's going to set into motion, not be able to do mitzvahs in the future. What if the person has an income? He has a salary. He has an X amount of money tucked away in the bank, and he has a couple of mitzvahs that come his way, but he's got a good job. He's been working for 20 years. He's got a constant salary. So comes Rishon Shmuel and says, what's the problem? Spend the money in your savings. You're going to get paid tomorrow anyway. You have a salary. You're not going to go poor. Baruch Hashem, everything's going to be good. Alzelo nemer vaz v'deli vaz v'deli vaz v'deli 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 means the person has a set amount of money. This is it. He's going to live. He's got $1 million in the bank. He's going to live on this $1 million for the rest of his life. So if 5 mitzvahs come his way and he spends $200,000 on matzah, $200,000 on lulav, $200,000 on sukkah in a week, he'll be wiped out. He won't be able to do mitzvahs for the rest of his life. So the only time of vaz v'deli vaz v'deli 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 is then when there's a set amount. But that's not our sugya. It's a different sugya legamber. So I'll call upon him. It's clear for the Gemara, for whatever reason, either the first approach or the second approach, that Pidyon Ben is going to cost you. Whatever the scenario is, Pidyon Ben is going to cost you, potentially down to the last penny. The only issue the Gemara is not sure about is, which mitzvah should you do? I have 2 mitzvahs of Pidyon Ben in front of me. One is my personal pidyon, because nobody, my father didn't take care of me as a kid. And number 2 is my own son's pidyon. Which one comes first? So let's go back again to the first of the Maimakamas and read it very, very precisely. The reason that my personal Pidyon Ben takes precedence over yours. If we take a look back to the first of the Maimakamas, or maybe Yirmiyah, the second line, Hakomod, everybody agrees, Kol Eichad Alek El Chamish Shloim, if you only have 5 Shkalim, who Kodom Lebno? You're first. You know why? By Taima, Mitzvah Degufei Adifa. I try to emphasize that word, Degufei. It's the mitzvah your goof. Your bodily mitzvah comes before Pidyon Ben on your son, implying that your son is not your body, he's your son. So the mitzvah that relates to my body takes precedence over it that relates to your body. That's the Lashon HaGemara in the Maseches Kedushin. If you take a look at the Gemara in the fourth of the Maamar Kamos, the Maseches Bechoros, it is the identical Braisa, the identical statement of Rabbi Yirmiyah. We're going to pick it up from Rabbi Yirmiyah. It's the second, the middle of the second line, the fourth of Maamar Kamos. It should sound very familiar. Rabbi Yirmiyah. Hakom Odim, everybody agrees, Heichad Deleike Elachame Shloim, who Karam Levnoim. That he comes first. This is Rabbi Yirmiyah just saying the same pismin, the same story in Bechoros. My time, what's the reason? The mitzvah Didei Adif. His mitzvah comes before the son's mitzvah. Notice a slight nuance of word. In one place, the text of the Gemara reads, the Gufe. Another place, the Gemara focuses on the word Didei. What is that nuance of difference? What precisely is the distinction between mitzvah the Gufo versus mitzvah Didei? Didei translates in Hebrew to mean mitzvah Shalom. So the Chora, one could suggest that the two sugyas are really saying two very, very different things, two very, very different principles in terms of Pidyaben, ultimately relating to other mitzvahs as well. What the Gemara in Bichoros, the second source, seems to be saying is that the mitzvah of Pidyaben pertains to me. That's my mitzvah. That mitzvah belongs to me. The mitzvah of Pidyaben that I'm doing on my son is not really my mitzvah. Whose mitzvah is it? It's really the son's mitzvah. The real mitzvah Pidya Ben is mutelas on each and every b'chor. Allah Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Pidya Ben should take place on the 31st day after the baby's born. It's kind of hard to expect to demand that from a little baby. And therefore, what the Torah does is, it puts the father in charge of fulfilling the obligations that are fundamentally on the child. So, b'ikaron, the lumdus of Pidya Ben is each person for himself, each firstborn male for themselves. But the reality kicks in. I can't do it. I'm only 31 days old. So the Torah says to the father, let's do us a favor. And the mitzvah, you go ahead and you represent the son. You do the mitzvah on behalf of the son. So if that's the case, if that's the lumdus in the mitzvah Pidya Ben, then the words really make a lot of sense. One is mitzvah shalom. It's my mitzvah. It's the day. But the mitzvah on the son is not mitzvah day. It's his mitzvah. So now we understand why there's a hierarchy. If you have a choice, which mitzvah do I have? Two mitzvahs in front of me. There are a column that govern which mitzvah takes precedence. I have two mitzvahs in front of me. So l'chora, my mitzvah should take precedence over your mitzvah. If I'm doing a mitzvah that pertains to me, that's my chiyuv for myself, of course that's more important than doing something for you. I mean, we want to be gomer chesed, we want to help other people out, but it's almost like b'chei chi chaymach, that you have to openly take care of yourself, has to come first. I've been doing kedemes. And therefore, I understand why mitzvah today is in fact adif. If that's the case, though, this sheds some light on what the nature of the relationship between father and son is vis-a-vis Pidya Ben. When the father does a Pidya Ben for the son, he's not really doing his own mitzvah. He's really doing the mitzvah on behalf of the child. This could open up a possible question. What is the din when the child turns by mitzvah? Father, for whatever reason, didn't do Pidya Ben at the right time, and now the kid turns by mitzvah. So there's no question the son now becomes chayv in Pidya Ben. Is the father also chayv in Pidya Ben? Is the father's chiyuv continue post by mitzvah of the son? Or does the father's chiyuv pocha, the father's chiyuv disappears, it ends once the child turns by mitzvah? So the chora, that depends on Hashem. If you hold that the father's role in Pidya Ben is not really a mitzvah. It's not my mitzvah. It's not me. I'm doing my son a taiva. A man to Bama Murim, the Torah says, do your son a taiva when the son can't do it himself. But the son's, he's over the age of Mitzvah. He can do it on his own. So what do I need the father for? So it's very possible that the father ceases to exist as a player in Pidya Ben after the moment of Bar Mitzvah. If you don't go down that route, if you assume that the chiyuv of Pidya Ben for a father to a son is a personal obligation, hamutelas al ha'av, it's my mitzvah to do, so then why does that mitzvah disappear? After Bar Mitzvah, there's no chinuch anymore. After Mitzvah, I don't take care of my kids anymore. So I have to do my Pidya Ben even after Bar Mitzvah.
Backwards, then it has to be on the father because
he doesn't
have to.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay, that's a fascinating view. But there are a lot of things that lefi derech ha'olam we do for our children, and we usually don't send them a bill after after bar mitzvah. But I think that the tzuras ha'mitzvah is such by the Torah that you're right. In lamdus, the mitzvah is really the son's, but lamaisa, the son can't do it. So the Torah puts a responsibility on the father to do it at the father's expense. The same way the father's got to pay. The father's got to pay tuition for the kid also.
That's part of it. I was just about to say that the
well, okay, so we got to hold off because after Pidgin Ben, the next one on the list of mitzvahs, the Kedush Chavtes, is Talmud Torah. So we'll come back to this in a minute, okay? I mean, down the line. One thing I can tell you that the discussion about the Talmud Torah part is going to be a lot more expensive than five shkolim. So, halavai, you can get tuition for $40 a time. Yeah.
All of these mitzvahs that are listed are on the father.
So that's exactly right. So that's part of a global question. All these mitzvahs, are these really mitzvahs ala av? I mean, we use the phrase mitzvah tells ala av, but are these really personal obligations? Every Jewish kid is supposed to get a bris, supposed to get a big event, supposed to learn Torah, supposed to get married. But the reality is, Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world in such a way that kids at a certain age can't do too much on their own. So Kadosh Baruch Hu put parents into the world to take care of all the things on behalf of the children. What do I say now? That these are. When I do a bris to my kid, or I do a pidyon ben to my kid, it's like putting tefillin on myself. I mean, it's my personal chiyuv. That's exactly the shaila.
So if I do a mitzvah where the child doesn't have the bris, it's still a mitzvah on the father. And
that's the shaila. That's exactly right. So that shaila is raised vis-a-vis pidyon ben and about bris. If he gets submitted, it'll be the same. But that chakira, that shaila is actually raised at all. Yeah, the father's around, the basin can be. Yeah, absolutely. They can take away his money, yeah. Take about take away his money. They don't even have to bother forcing him to walk away with his money. We had a fascinating shaila years ago in Yeshiva that almost touches a little bit on this, about what happens post-bar mitzvah. So again, everybody agrees the kid has to do it post-bar mitzvah, but does that mean the kid at the expense of the father? The father's not here anymore? The father's out of the picture? He's chiv is pacha? Or it means the father and the child, both of them have a chiv. We had a filing shot. We've had over the years some strange Pidyon Ben shots in yeshiva. You get a boy comes to yeshiva, 18, 19 years old, and you know, the first time he learns a little bit of Pidyon Ben, and he comes to the realization that he's a Bechor. So sometimes it's a little bit tricky because, you know, very often, you know, a child comes from his family's Bechlal, no Shaykh, they don't know from anything. Sometimes he doesn't know whether he's a Kohen in that. He doesn't know whether he's a Levi in that. He doesn't know whether his mother is in that. He has no idea about anything. So that's a whole nother shaila. You say Sufik Pidyon Ben in robes, and that gets labored there. But let's say that Niach, we've established that this kid really truly requires a Pidyon Ben. So great, so we do it. So we've done over the years in yeshiva, we've done more than one Pidyon Ben for Gedolim. With bracha, sometimes we know B'toh's father, the kid mamash needs a Pidyon Ben. So we've done an issue. So one time there was a boy from out of town, and we came to the realization he's going to do Pidyon Ben. We had a Pidyon Ben planned, and he told his parents about it. And the father was really excited. And the father said, well, he was from out of time. The father, I want to fly in for the occasion, but I can't make it for another like 3 weeks, whatever it was. So now, there's no question, obviously, we waited for the father because it's like, it's a wonderful, first of all, it's a wonderful kibbutz avayim opportunity, a wonderful kibbutz opportunity. I mean, the once for a lifetime opportunity to expose the father to the beauty of the Torah. There's no question we're going to wait for the father to come. But from the pure lumdish point of view, what are you supposed to do? Is that a claim? Is that a claim the father has? I want to be present at the Pidyon Ben of my son, because on the other hand, counterbalances. It's this kid should have been at Pidyon Ben 17 years ago. So this is an unbelievable Ein's reason about Bittul Mitzvah. This is not as bad as reason about as you can get. This is like ongoing Bittul Mitzvah, Bittul Mitzvah, Bittul Mitzvah. Another month for the father's going to show up from Nebraska. So what do you say? So I thought that it may depend on the shot. If you tell me that a father has an independent chiyuv of Pidyon Ben, and that chiyuv doesn't go away at the time of mitzvah, then the father's a bino in this mitzvah. So the father says, yes, I know you're going to do it, but I have a time, I want to be there. And you know, the Gemara tells us that the reason why they instituted the Beis HaMikdash Mishmaros, that different Yisraelim, that is, my mother's Yisraelim would come at the time when the Karbanos Talmud were brought, because the Karban Talmud is brought on behalf of all the Klal Yisrael. It's not realistic. You can't have all the Jewish people, someone's got to work, so everyone can't come to Shalim every day. So they appointed different representatives to stand by the carpet. Why? Because a mitzvah is being done for you. You should be there. You should be present. That's the right thing to do. So you can't, not everybody can come. So these shlichim should come. So I said that if this is the father's mitzvah, that's a good detail that he has. It's a very strong claim. He says, I want to be there, I want to participate, I want to be part of it. If you say that, the father's gone. He blew it. He should have done the mitzvah before 13. See, after 13, it's not his mitzvah. It's a, imagine as follows. Imagine a kid's ready to do Pidgin HaBen, and a stranger calls and says, hold the Pidgin HaBen for me, I'll be there in a month. We shouldn't hold the Pidgin HaBen for me. You'll go find another Pidgin HaBen in your neighborhood. So I'm not going to hold the Pidgin HaBen for you. I thought that the only time a pure halacha to delay the Pidgin HaBen would be if the father still has a shaykh. Again, Lemaisa, we pushed off the Pidgin HaBen, we held it, you know, for other extra halacha reasons. But from the pure vantage point of Lamdas, I thought it may depend on this. But what if you have the other?
We would say that the father's to you, they never did it, now they're going to wait 3 weeks.
You know, I'm much more comfortable having it going with the Pidgin HaBen than I am with the Bris Mila.
No, but in Lamdas.
Right, if you alum this, right. I mean, again, the holding off of bris is a potential issur of karis. Depending on the Rambam, the Raya, you know, when exactly the chiyuv of karis kicks in for a bittul mitzvah bris mila. If you have a ban, you know, the world's not going to come to an end. You know,
no, but doesn't mean the basin has the obligation.
Means I have an obligation. That claim of the father is not as important. Yeah, the shayla was a moot shayla halacha, so I don't have to think about it too much. But it struck me at the time that maybe it's related to this.
It's really the son's obligation.
Because the Torah says so. The Torah says b'chol b'chor b'nechatifta. The Torah says to the father, you do it for the kid. Don't wait till the Torah starts this. Because the Torah wants Pidgin HaBen to be dafka day 31. But if you go back to the Gemara in Maseches Kedushin, back to the first part of Kobos for a second, the words of the Gemara were not mitzvah d'day, the mitzvah d'gufei adifa. What is mitzvah d'gufei adifa? It sounds like the father owns both mitzvahs. He owns the mitzvah on himself, and he owns the mitzvah on his son also. But afa bichein, a mitzvah that relates to your body takes precedence over a mitzvah that does relate to your body. The marshal. What would you say they did in the following case? The guy doesn't have enough money for tefillin and mezuzah. And he's in the middle of there's no one to borrow tefillin from. So he has X amount of money. It's either tefillin or mezuzah. Which one comes first? So the post can discuss the principle. Tefillin may have a mind over mezuzah. Because tefillin speaks to you, it's on your body. Mezuzah is on my house. Mezuzah is not on me. So that may be a svara in Shmiras HaMitzvahs, hierarchy of mitzvahs. A mitzvah de gufe may take precedence of a mitzvah, which is lav de gufe. So if the Gemara is talking the language of mitzvah de gufe, not mitzvah de day, that's a whole different ballgame. It's a whole different world. So I'll call upon him. Everybody agrees the pidgin for himself takes precedence. What the lumdus is, may depend on the sugya yourself. But there's one last part of the sugya that the person was really, really low on funds, and that's the fifth of the Rambam Kamos. The Gemara Kedushin Chavtas of the Beis tells us, "Liftos b'dov alalos the regular." The guy just had a month before Pesach. He just had a baby boy. It's now 2 days before Pesach, and he's got X amount of money, 5 shkolim, and the price for him to make his way up to Shalayim that he aliyah the regular is 5 shkolim. It's one or the other, either Pidgin HaBen or aliyah the regular. He's not going to have enough money to do both. So pogus b'dov v'chak al the regular. So the Tanakh says Pidgin HaBen comes first. And then where the pidgin aliyah regal afterwards? If we can't get it, so you won't go aliyah. Pidgin HaBen comes first. If you don't know that all the regal happens, but no, Yehuda says no. Aliyah regal comes first. What's the svara? Shazom mitzvah veres mitzvah veres. If Yehuda says aliyah regal, the clock is ticking. If you don't do aliyah regal, yontif's going to come and go. You blew it. You can't do aliyah regal after yontif. Next yontif is next yontif. But the mitzvah of Pesach Tovshin Peveis is going to be over. Pidgin HaBen. So if you don't do pidgin HaBen, you do it tomorrow. You do it next week. You do it next month. It's not going anywhere. So Rav Yehuda says that's a klal in kedima and mitzvah. So you have two mitzvahs in front of you. One's a mitzvah averis, one's a mitzvah shen averis. So you go for the more pressing need. You go for the mitzvah averis first. So the Gemara says that makes a lot of sense. Bishlam Rav Yehuda can become a taima. I understand Rav Yehuda's reason. Al rabbanan maitamayu. What's the rabbanan's reason? Why do the rabbanan disagree with Rav Yehuda? So the Gemara says it's based on a pasuk. Gemakra ko b'chor b'necha tifteh v'hadol eru panai reikam. Pasuk says that first you do Pidgin HaBen. And then don't come to the base of Mikdash without your kabbalah. So I yield the regal. So it happens to be there's a quirk, there's a pasuk, there's the cross of the Pidgin HaBen comes first. So the Chora, you see something very, very critical for this Gemara about the very nature of Pidgin HaBen. Having a machlekes, the Torah having a nuanced, detailed machlekes, when you have two mitzvahs, which comes first, Pidgin HaBen or a little regal? And each one is using svaras or psukim, there's the cross of, to address the issue of kedima b'mitzvahs. So Rabbi Yehuda went with the regular svar of mitzvah veris or mitzvah in veris, and the Rabbanan said that the pasuk trumps that klal. But these are mitzvah Kedimah is in mitzvahs de gesvaros. What would you say about the following? What if I have five shkolim to my name, and I'm about to do a mitzvah with those five shkolim, and somebody knocks the door and says, by the way, I lent you five shkolim this year, you never pay me back the five shkolim. What's the din? Of course you have to pay back the chov. Did you owe the guy the money? If you owe the money, so it's not really your money. You owe the person has a lien on your money. The guy has a shiva on your money. So it's very nice. It's very wonderful to be from. If you had a cheshbon, you're going to be from somebody else's money. You borrow the money, so that money belongs to him now. You owe the guy the money. So come to the Acharonim and say, I don't understand. Pidgin Aben is a chov. You owe the Kohanim money, not any particular coin. No one coin can take me to the Torah, but the Shevet HaKohuna has a tvi against me. That's why the Vilna Gaon says that if a person wants to do Pidgin Aben on behalf of somebody else, he can do that. Why? I can pay your taxes for you. I can pay your chayvus for you. What's the big deal? So if the halacha is that Pidgin Aben is a chov moment, it's a Shevet Nechasim, the Shevet Nechasim, the Gemara says, if you don't pay back your Pidgin Aben, Beis Din is going to come and take the money and take your property away. So I understand, if you owe money for Pidgin Aben, what shaykh to say, no, I'm not going to pay you back my chayv, I'm using the money to go travel to Yerushalayim. Well, chutzpah, you're traveling to Yerushalayim with somebody else's money. So what are you and the Chum talking about? They're talking about, is there a pasuk? Not a pasuk, is a ketiba. First of all, ketiba, there's no ketiba in mitzvahs when there's a chayv mamon. So the chayv you see, are you sold from here? What? Yeah, Kohanim, yeah, that's right, that's right. There's an entity called Shevet HaKohuna. I owe money to Shevet HaKohuna, that's right, that's right. And Horaya, a coin can come and take the basin will come and take the money away and give it to the Shevet HaKohuna, whichever coin they choose to give it to. So the Chayyus is sold from here. But yes, it's true. There's no question that there's a Chi of Mammon to give Pidgin Aben, but that Chi of Mammon emanates from the mitzvah. It doesn't start as a Chi of Mammon. It's a Chi of Mammon depending upon the existence of the mitzvah. If and when I'm Chayyus, if Hilchas mitzvahs dictate you, Reuven, have to do Pidgin Aben, then the Chiyuv Mammon kicks. The Chiyuv Mammon does not precede the mitzvah. So Bris Ketorah, there are two halachas of Pidgin Aben. There's a mitzvah Pidgin Aben, and there's a Chiyuv Shiva Dechos, there's a Chiyuv Mammon Pidgin Aben. But the Chiyuv Mammon only comes after the mitzvah has already been determined. So that's Rabbi Yehuda and the Chum are fighting. Is there a mitzvah now? So Rabbi Yehuda says, there's no mitzvah Pidgin Aben when you have a leal regal against you. Mitzvah Iveris. And the Chum only disagrees because of the Pasuk. So the only reason why we can ignore the Chiyuv Mammon is because once we heard Kapaskin that there is or is not a mitzvah, once we decide there's a mitzvah, then we can discuss the Chiyuv Mammon. So that idea.
I thought Rabbi Yehuda didn't come on to mitzvah, didn't pay a mitzvah in the case of Ali Loretta.
He had...
There's only five slots, you could either go Ali Loretta or...
But it could be that... Ali Loretta...
Why do you have to go out, come on to
what if a mitzvah veras? In assuming there's a kedima, you want to bring a riot to one of yourselves in the Gemara. That there is such a concept of a kedima. Right. If there's such a thing called a kedima, interesting. I don't know. It's a good point.
Say, if
oh, you mean if you want? Oh, very good, excellent. If you want to go down the chov point, so then maybe that's the answer to the original question. Why have to spend every last penny? And let's say, I have $5 in the bank, and I owe somebody those $5. So you can say, nope, you don't have to pay the $5 because I'm a vaz. It's a joke. It's not your money. It belongs to the other guy. Of course, you have to give it. Oh, but once you say that the chov is telling the mitzvah, so if the hilchas mitzvah dictates I don't have to be a vaz, then the man there's no chov. Right. Good. So that we still need the Mishmaru's answers. Good. Very good. Good. So this idea that sometimes you find the mitzvah has two components to it. There's a mitzvah, a sina. And then, if and when there's a mitzvah, the sina, then a chov kicks in. But the chov does not exist in the absence, and it doesn't exist in a vacuum. That seems to be the same sugi that's playing out in the sixth of the Maamar Kamos. The Gemara of Akam and Dafman Vav tells us, it's Mashomer Aveda. I'm walking in the street, and I see a lost object. I pick it up. I become what's called the Shomer Aveda. I have to watch that object. And if something happens to that object before I get it back to the owner, I will be responsible like any other Shomer. To what extent of Shomer am I? The only machlekes that Meroim was, to what extent of a Shomer am I? Am I a Shomer Chinam, who has much, much limited amount of responsibility, because if I'm not getting paid, or am I like a Shomer Socher, who has a much higher level? Nafkamin is a Gnev, Aved, etc. So Rabba Amik Shomer Chinam Dami, Rabba explains why you're a Shomer Chinam. You're not getting paid. At the end of the day, you're not getting a penny from the Baal Aveda, so you're a Shomer Chinam. Rabbi Yosef says, no, I'm a Shomer Socher. Why? that time that I'm taking care of the Aveda, I'm watching it, I'm taking care of it, I'm brushing it off, I'm cleaning it off. If somebody knocks at my door for tzedakah, I don't have to answer them. I don't have to give tzedakah. I used to give a mitzvah. So I am saving myself a few dollars. So that money that a penny saved is a penny earned. So I saved myself a few dollars of tzedakah. That's the schar, that's what's called putah d'Rav Yosef. So Rabbah denies that. The question, why denies that? Rabbah holds maybe it's so uncommon that the ani is going to knock on the door as he's taking care of the aveda. So that's a nuanced nachlekes in the Bakam and the Darim about putah d'Rav Yosef. But the ikaron, we do apply the principle of Isaac mitzvah, part of it to tzedakah. That's clear. But tell the guys in the middle of saying Kriya Shema, the person who walks by and shul puts his hand from it. So you have to go down the clone of Isaac mitzvah and figure out when it applies. That shurkam shnei or not. So that's a long discussion sugya. But the ikaron, if you are being Isaac mitzvah, you don't have to do mitzvah B, even if that mitzvah B is tzedakah. So the Rabbi Chanan Wasserman has a problem. He says, I don't understand. Tzedakah shibud dechasim. If a guy has to give tzedakah, Bezin sizes up, you're mechuyav to give tzedakah, and you don't give, Bezin's going to take away your property. The Shiva the Chosim on tzedakah. So it's a chov mammon. I owe it to the Shevet Ha'aniyim. I owe money to Aniyim. Whatever, however that chiyav is assessed, that's a different story. But there's a chov, it's not just a mitzvah, it's just a ritual law. There's a monetary obligation. A person has a chov mammon to give tzedakah. So that's Rabbi Chan, understand? I think the mitzvah potem in a chayvis. If I borrowed $1,000 from you, and I keep on doing said Krishma. I'm doing Krishma, I'm putting on my tefillah. I'm spending the whole day doing mitzvahs. So I can say, I don't pay money. And then I say the mitzvah. It's a joke. I say a mitzvah, part of a mitzvah. That's a rule in ritual law. It doesn't impact mammon. It has nothing to do with b'chashem mishpat. So Esther Bukhanan, how could you be part from tzedakah? If I say mitzvah, part of a mitzvah doesn't impact on chayvis, you have a chayvis to give tzedakah. The same tizman we said before. There's a chayv to give tzedakah. If and when we pass it, there's a mitzvah to give tzedakah. So tzedakah begins as a mitzvah. It's a ritual. It's part of ritual law. It starts out as an orachan yodeh kind of halacha. If and when there's a chiyav in orachan yodeh, then it translates to become chayshim mishpat as well. And if it doesn't, why doesn't it? Because I say mitzvah part of a mitzvah. So then there's ois chiyav and there's no chiyav whatsoever. So that idea that seems very clear from the Gemara concerning Pidyon Haben, that yes, there's a mitzvah tesina. Yes, there's a chayv mammon. But the Chov Mammon is working with the prerequisite of the Mitzvah Tesina. So that idea is an identical principle when it comes to the Mitzvah Tzedakah. Okay, let's start
there.
Oh, that's the other kash. Right. So that's the other kash. Yes. How can you say the Mitzvah for the Lavim? So the answer is the Lav is not to do the Assay. So we've passed up the Assay. If you chayv in the Assay, then you chayv in the Lav. Lo siyamet says Lavavcha means you who are supposed to be given Tzedakah, don't be ma'amet Yavcha. If I'm not mechuyav the gifts, then the Lav doesn't speak to me.
Shkoch.
So you have the Mitzvah Le'erekom now?
Yeah, we're about that lady. Yeah, we're